Morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. Welcome to Worldwide Communion Sunday. A special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today and also those joining us via live stream. Today, Jesus' followers all around the world are gathering around the communion table to share in communion, remembering what Jesus has done for us by sharing the bread and the cup. We're going to be sharing at the communion table in a little bit later this morning. So as we gather this morning, would you please join me in prayer? Redeemer God, as we gather to worship you on this Worldwide Communion Sunday, we ask that your Holy Spirit would fall afresh upon us. We pray that your Spirit would stir our hearts and awaken us to a new and fresh hope in you. Grant us the vision to see the coming of your kingdom. Help us to celebrate the glimpses of your grace that you've given to each one of us. Knit our hearts together in worship as we share around the communion table this morning. Help us to release any distractions to you and help us to truly enter in and worship you because we love you, Lord. And we pray this in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So would you join the worship team in singing praises to God?
Well, I invite you all to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Thank you.
this time, we take this morning's offering, which is for MCC relief, and there's also the My Coins count here for the kids.
So, Father, we just come to you this morning. First, we just ask that you would help all those people that are struggling right now down in Florida. Just help them get through this time. It's going to take a while, but be with them. And I pray, too, this morning, help each one of us here this morning be open to you, that we can receive from Jesus his body and his blood, that we can eat, we can drink this, and take that spiritual step. And just be open to everything you have for us. Bless us this morning, Father. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
say to that, and just pray that we would have hearts ready to hear from you this morning, and you'd speak through Larry this morning. Amen.
So it's time for our children's message, so I invite any children to come forward. Good morning. How are you? Good. Well, good. I'm glad y'all came front today. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Perfect.
I have a pink shirt on.
Pink shirt.
That's purple.
That's pink over there. Anyway, today's a very special day. Do you know why today's a special day? There's two reasons. Yes, that's right. We're going to be sharing in that later on in the service. There's also another reason why today's a special day.
Because we have the church picnic.
Oh, yes. Okay, there's three reasons. There's another reason why today's a very special day. Go ahead.
I forget.
You forget. Well, let me tell you. You know why today is a special day?
Why?
Because today is Pastor Tony's birthday. Did you know that?
No.
So today's Pastor Tony's birthday. So when you see him today, say happy birthday to him. Okay. 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 So. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about communion. So,
I talked about community and my school.
You did, okay. And you also mentioned it a little bit earlier this morning when you came front. So Jesus was eating a meal with his disciples, and then he started telling them about the bread. He took it and he said, "This bread will be broken for you. It's a emblem of my body." And he took the drink and said, "This cup represents me spilling my blood for you." So this morning when we share in communion, your mommy and daddies will be taking the bread, and that represents Jesus' broken body that was broken on the cross, where he died on the cross, so we can have our sins forgiven. And the cup represents the blood that was spilled on our behalf. So we eat that and drink that, and we remember what Jesus did for us. Okay? Because in Luke it says this: he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So, as you begin to understand more and more what Jesus did on the cross for you, you can remember that Jesus' broken body, the bread that we take, is a representative of his broken body, and the cup that we drink represents the blood that was spilled on our behalf so we can have our sins forgiven. Okay? So I'm going to pray with you guys, and then there's a snack over there on the bench beside Sandy. So you can grab one on your way back to your parents. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for these children. Thank you for their beginning to understand what it means for you to die on the cross for them. Thank you. They have a little bit of comprehension of the bread and the cup that we'll be partaking of later on in our service. So I ask for your blessing, and I ask that they would one day give their lives and their hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So grab a snack, head back to your parents. Well, greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who has made a way for each one of us to be reconciled back to God through his death and resurrection from the dead. And it's the reason why we gather here this morning as we be sharing around the communion table in a few minutes. Remembering is because of what he has done, what Jesus has done on the cross, that we can come to the communion table and share the bread and the cup together. So again, I want to apologize for overlooking the very important detail of getting the council forms into your mailboxes so you can prepare for this communion service this morning. So I'm trusting that each of you took some time to think about what it really means, what we're going to be doing this morning, and to examine whether you have peace with God and peace with your fellow men. So I apologize again for overlooking that. And also thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message today. I certainly do appreciate your prayers. So we're going to be continuing our fall series on the sufficiency of God. The big idea of this series is to reinforce our understanding that God is indeed sufficient, that God indeed is enough, that God indeed is adequate to help us through this life, no matter what we may encounter. Because the reality of life is that life is filled with adversity, difficulty, transition and change, and so that we need the presence of God to give us peace through all those situations. So now when you see this topic this morning, that it's forgiveness, I hope that you don't yawn and take a nap. Because if you spent any amount of time in church, you've most likely heard numerous messages on forgiveness. Messages about the availability of forgiveness through Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. Messages about how we're supposed to forgive others as Jesus has forgiven us, from texts like Colossians 3:13, bear with one another, or bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So we know we're supposed to forgive other people. Many times we may find that quite difficult, especially if we've been deeply hurt. But we can usually come around to doing that with God's help. So we heard these messages over and over again. So I was thinking about this topic of forgiveness. I wondered, isn't there another side to this forgiveness thing? If we take forgiveness and turn it and look at it from a different angle, don't me and you, sometimes struggle with forgiving ourselves? The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness, but I don't think that it specifically addresses the concept of forgiving oneself. There aren't any verses telling us that we need to forgive ourselves. Yeah, there's the second greatest commandment in Matthew 22:39, which says, love your neighbor as yourself, which implies some degree of self-care and self-love. Yet the whole biblical message seems to be to deny yourself, to focus on God and others, and to practice humility, not by thinking less of yourself, but by thinking of yourself less. But haven't many of us had those moments where we probably cringed over what we just said or what we just did, or perhaps what we didn't say or didn't do? We know we were wrong. We talked to God about it. We've admitted and confessed it to God. We received God's forgiveness. We've approached, when appropriate, those we've hurt and received forgiveness from them as well. Yet there sometimes seems to be this lingering thing in our conscience. It's casting blame and guilt deep inside, telling us that we're worthless, that we no longer matter to God, that He really hasn't forgiven us. Yeah, theologically, we know we've forgiven, and yet we still seem to maybe punish ourselves. We've never lost faith in God, but we think maybe, just maybe, God has lost faith in us. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a few snapshots of Peter's life. The truth is that we can only find forgiveness for our sin and the ability to forgive others, including any notion or need of self-forgiveness, through Jesus' finished work on the cross, because that is sufficient. As we bask and soak in God's forgiving love, we can release those pesky regrets, those doubts, and finally be free, recognizing that we are flawed, but forgiven, and very precious in God's sight. God is sufficient because He has provided the only way for us to be forgiven. So before we read John 21, 1 to 19, let's get a bit of context. Peter's story of his betrayal of Jesus was predicted by Jesus in John 13, right after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. So I'd like to read John 13, 33 to 38. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for Me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked Him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for Me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown Me 3 times. So Peter makes this very bravado statement as he declares, "I will lay down my life for you." So I'm not sure what Peter thought after Jesus responded with this prediction of Peter disowning Him 3 times. But I imagine he was pretty confident, pretty certain that he would never, ever do that. After Jesus was arrested, we find Peter in John 18 doing exactly what Jesus had predicted he would do. When asked if he knows this Jesus who was on trial, Peter takes the safe way out and he denies knowing his Lord not once, not twice, but 3 times. And then he hears the rooster crow. Can you imagine? Maybe Peter catching Jesus' glance from across the courtyard, and then Peter remembers. He remembers Jesus' words, "I tell you the truth, Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. So imagine what Peter was experiencing. He must have been devastated and overwhelmed by his failure. He, like Judas Iscariot, had just betrayed his Lord. So we don't see much of Peter in the scriptures. The next couple of days, he's noticeably absent at the cross when Jesus is crucified, as most of the disciples were. Only John and Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with a few other women, would stay by Jesus' side. Then on Sunday morning, that first resurrection Sunday morning, Peter's back along with John, and they're racing to the tomb after Mary Magdalene announces that it is empty. Now fast forward to a week later, Jesus had appeared to the disciples, and now, but not to Peter on an individual basis. So John 21, 1a says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. So why were the disciples at the Sea of Galilee? Perhaps Mark 16:7 gives us a clue. Mark 16:6-7 says, and this is the angel at Jesus' empty tomb speaking to the women who had come to anoint Jesus' dead body. The angel says, don't be alarmed. He said, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So it appears that the disciples are by the Sea of Galilee because that's what Jesus told them to do. That's where he told them to go. It's also interesting to note that the angel made specific mention of Peter. Perhaps that was to show that in spite of Peter's denials, Jesus had not disowned and deserted him. And Jesus probably also knew that a fishing expedition back to the former surroundings of the Sea of Galilee would be great for their psychological and emotional well-being. Just think about what they had just experienced. They had just been on an emotional roller coaster. In a matter of days, they had been lifted to the giddy heights of Palm Sunday, then sent spiraling down into the depths of despair on Good Friday when Jesus was crucified, and then swept upward again in hearing the news that Jesus was alive. So a good night fishing on the Sea of Galilee would be just what the doctor ordered. So let's pick up the account again in John 21. John 21, 1b to verse 19. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard this, it is the Lord, heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the 3rd time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus asked, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said this, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So Jesus shows up as a stranger on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, throwing out some unsolicited advice to expert fishermen. His guidance leads to them catching this enormous catch, which John notes as 153 large fish. John identifies Jesus in the dim morning light, and the ever-impulsive Peter jumps into the water and heads to the shore. And after breakfast, Jesus and Peter have this one-on-one, this heart-to-heart. And some Bible commentators describe this exchange as both gut-wrenching and also soul-redeeming, a picture of God's graciousness and Jesus' forgiving love. So after Peter affirms his love for Jesus three times, Jesus in turn challenges him to serve him three times. So the message to Peter is unmistakable. Not only do I forgive you, I have important work for you to do. The time for pity parties is over. Get off the bench and get back in the game. So the question, this idea of forgiving yourself, now comes back into focus. Can I forgive ourselves? So, biblically, no. God forgives our sin, and we are to forgive others. But the Bible never specifically tells us to forgive ourselves. But we, you and I, can let Jesus' forgiveness wash over us until we finally believe it, until it sinks in, until we know without a doubt that Jesus forgives, and he even gives us new ways to serve him. So think about this. If you have honestly brought all your sin to the foot of the cross, if you have repented, which means to turn around and go the opposite direction, if you've asked for forgiveness, then where do you think these messages of guilt and shame are coming from? They're not coming from God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 103, the psalmist talks about how God promises to remove our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. If we've done our part of confessing, repenting, then God is faithful to do his part of forgiving us. Then your guilt and your shame is not from God, but from our enemy, whose only desire is to steal, kill, and destroy your joy and your peace. So stop buying into it. After you confess and repent, then live. Walk as if you've been forgiven. So do consequences of sin remain after we're forgiven? Yes, sometimes they do. Sometimes our sin might damage a relationship or remove an opportunity or maybe ruin our health. So perhaps you can identify with Peter's story as he quickly turned to self-preservation when confronted about knowing Jesus. But remember, Peter's story gives us assurance that there is forgiveness, there is recovery, there is restoration from the guilt and the shame of sin. So this morning, as we gather around the communion table, hear Jesus' renewed call to you. As he said to Peter, follow me. Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are humbled by Peter's story because we sometimes find ourselves in it as we contemplate the failures in our own lives. And yet you are a God who consistently uses flawed people to do your work as you call each one of us to follow you. So as we hear your renewed call to follow you today, help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are forgiven when we confess and repent of our sins. Draw us, in spite of our brokenness, into a deeper walk with you. And help us to hear your call to serve you. Help us to rely on your Holy Spirit for power to serve you as we use our gifts to build your church, knowing that you are sufficient. And now as we gather around the communion table, we ask that you bless this time as we remember what Jesus has accomplished on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. It's in the strong and powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So I would invite Pastor Tony to come and lead us through the distribution of the emblems.
Well, I would like to welcome you in the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you, Pastor Larry, for reminding us that it might not express it in the Bible, but part of forgiveness is forgiving ourselves and not listening to the enemy when he tries to remind us, hey, remember this thing that you did? And bringing it back to us and making us feel guilty for what we have done. I know I have struggled with that in the past, and not allowing God to do his full work in me because I was hanging on to this guilt that for my sins. So we're about to do something this morning that Jesus told his disciples to do, and he told us in his word to do this, to have communion together, to drink of the cup and eat of the bread as a reminder of what Jesus did for us on the cross and what his blood means for us. His blood is a covenant. It takes away our sin when we accept Jesus as our Savior and we ask for forgiveness and we repent and turn away from our sins. I have usually two emotions when I'm partaking in communion. First, it's this somber, sad feeling because of Jesus actually being nailed to the cross and dying for me because my sin put him on that cross. Yet, I'm forgiven. And that brings me to the other emotion that I feel, and it's joy, and that I should be celebrating what Jesus did for me. So I have these two emotions warring inside of me because of what Jesus did for me, his love, his forgiveness, and the sacrifice that is given so freely to me. And we do this morning to remember what Jesus did for us. I'm going to read Luke 22, 14 to 22. When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance for me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. Jesus passionately desired to have that meal, share breaking of the bread and drinking of the cup with his disciples. And it's the same with us. He passionately desires to commune with us in this special way. We're supposed to examine our hearts and see if there's anything going on inside that we need to go and maybe ask someone for forgiveness or ask God for forgiveness for a sin that we're holding on to, maybe a grudge or anger. Maybe there's some hatred in your heart. God will use his Holy Spirit to bring that to your mind. So we're going to just take a minute right now and just close our eyes, and we're going to ask the Lord to come and search our hearts and see if there's anything in us that we need to repent of, or maybe go to someone and say, I'm sorry for what I've done for you. So will you join me in closing your eyes for just a moment? Holy Spirit, come. Reveal what's in our hearts. Reveal to us if there's something that we need to repent of, or go to someone and ask for forgiveness. I just pray that you reveal that to us now. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit and speaking to us. I know it can be difficult to hear in this short amount of time, but you are faithful, and you will speak to us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining in that. And this is a serious thing, because it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, for whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks a judgment on himself. If we do this in a manner that is not from God, that we just do this because that's what you do twice a year, you take communion, or you're holding on to this sin in your heart without confessing it or going to someone, we drink a judgment on ourselves. So there is a seriousness to this as we go and we remember what God has done for us. And I just ask you to continue, even though we have communion today, just continue to ask the Holy Spirit if there's something that you need to do to make right before God. So I do have some instructions for you. I ask that you please wait till to partake of the emblems until we all receive them so that we can partake together, and I'll lead you in that. So I'd invite Larry to come forward and help prepare the emblems this morning. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. Just thank you for giving us Jesus to wash away our sins. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us, leading us and guiding us. This bread and the cup are so simple, yet so profound. Thank you for this way to remember your love and your sacrifice. I pray this morning that you would bless this bread and this cup to our bodies, our hearts, and our souls as we remember you and what you have done. I just pray that as we gather with you around the communion table, we can remember and celebrate the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection, overcoming sin and death. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the brothers forward who are prepared to serve the emblems this morning. Has anybody been missed who would like to partake in the bread this morning? Jesus took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Will you join me in partaking the bread this morning? I'd invite the brothers forward to distribute the cup. Is there anyone that was missed? Jesus, in the same way, took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Will you join me in partaking of the cup?" May God bless you and reveal himself in new ways. May he strengthen you. Remember his love. Remember his sacrifice. And celebrate what he has done for you each day, for his love and mercy that he had poured out on you. May God fill you with his love and with joy and with the kindness. I'd invite the worship team forward for a closing song.
Jesus, I love you.
I have two quick announcements. Next Sunday for Sunday school is a review Sunday, so from junior youth up to adults, we'll be upstairs as one class having a review. And our church picnic is going to be here at the church, and the meal's going to start at 5. There was a message up on the screen before the service started, so I'd invite you to come out here this evening for our picnic indoors. Will you stand for a parting benediction? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.